The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, this is just a friendly reminder to make sure that you are registered to vote for the upcoming elections this November. Please text the word VOTER to 26797 to check your registration. You will also receive reminders for all local, state, and federal elections and your polling locations. And don't forget to follow I Am a Voter for more civic engagement opportunities. That's VOTER to 26797.
Hi, this is Deborah Messing. I'm an actress and social justice advocate.
I am Mandana Dayani, creator and co-founder of the nonpartisan movement I Am a Voter.
So Mandana and I are best friends, and activism is a huge part of our lives and who we are. We're constantly inspired by the incredible work people are doing every day all over the world. And then one day we realized something. Most of these people had no intention of becoming heroes. They are just accidental activists who knew something was not okay and chose to do something about it. In this podcast, we share the journeys of 20 of these dissenters who blew us away. Based on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's iconic "I dissent" slogan, a dissenter is someone who stood up to an injustice or challenged the status quo, someone who fought to build a better way.
This week, we speak with the incredible Christian Siriano. Christian is one of the top runway and red carpet designers in the world. His gowns have been worn by everyone from Lady Gaga, Julianne Moore, Lizzo, and Cardi B to Oprah and Michelle Obama. In 2018, he celebrated the 10-year anniversary of his brand with the most insane show featuring 72 looks. In 2019, he dressed 17 women at the Oscars and 9 at the Emmys. And of course, there was the unforgettable and historic moment when he dressed Billy Porter in a gorgeous gown of his on the red carpet. Christian returned to Bravo's Project Runway as a mentor in 2019.
Christian was named among Time's 100 most influential people in the world for being a pioneer in positivity and runway diversity in the fashion industry. He has disrupted every norm in fashion to create a more inclusive culture and runways. He was one of the first to put plus-size models on the runway, to expand his collection to include sizes up to size 28, and to welcome and dress artists appearing on the red carpet regardless of size or gender, especially when almost all other designers turn them down.
This was recorded in February, but since our conversation, Christian was one of the first designers to respond to Governor Cuomo's appeal during his daily news conference for businesses to manufacture protective equipment and pivoted his team and operations to make as many masks as possible during this pandemic.
Christian is brilliant and hilarious, and we can't wait for you to hear this episode. And now, it's our greatest honor to introduce you to the amazing dissenter, Christian Siriano, the inclusion pioneer.
Hi.
Hello, Christian Siriano.
Hi. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to see you.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Thank you for popping over your show.
It's great. I know.
It's coming up.
Fashion Week and award season at the same time is just rude.
It's not fair.
No, it really isn't.
Especially for someone like you who does collections that are 72 outfits at a time and doing 18 different people at the Oscars. And
this year we're not doing that.
The first question I asked was like, how do you do that? How do you...
I know, it's wild. It's all about the balance. No, I mean, it is getting harder because I think you can't control everything, obviously. So I think that's the challenge. But I think I'm very decisive, so that's helpful. Like, I'm kind of like, okay, this is working. And if it isn't working, then we move on really quickly. So I think that's why we're able to do so many things so quickly. And I'm really good at like cutting the corners that we need to cut that don't matter and then fixing the things that do. That's it. That's all it is.
What does it feel like to be considered a pioneer in the fashion industry in terms of changing the industry, transforming it, and making and having a body positivity movement?
Yeah, I mean, it feels really good. I think, I think about like, sometimes, you know, fashion can be very frivolous and whatever some people think about it. So it is nice that like, okay, if it's not just about the clothes and if I was gone tomorrow, I would feel good that I like leave something else behind, something that like means something more to the world. Mm-hmm. So I think that just started being interesting idea to me maybe like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And I was like, oh, I think it's like more than like just making clothes. I think it's about like making something that's emotional to other people because, you know, we're so visual. We're visual creatures. We're like looking at something, judging it instantly.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to judge it instantly, I want it to mean something more. So that's what I started thinking about, I think. And which is why, yeah, dressing all these different shapes, sizes, men, women. I just stopped thinking about that as, I don't know, not the important thing, I guess. Yeah, it is important. It's like, but then it's like, I don't know. I think the people are just as important as the work. What does it stand for? Where is it? What's the content? Everything is like, it's not just pulling a dress anymore.
Right.
At least I think a little bit. Yeah.
Can we start with maybe your childhood? I just kind of want to get a sense of how this all came to be.
Yeah, I know. I was a little boy. No, I'm from Maryland, and it was a very kind of, I think, a very kind of preppy, buttoned up. We used to sponsor MIDS. It was where the Naval Academy is in Annapolis. So I think that was very interesting. So I think definitely I rebelled a little bit to be a little more eccentric and wild. But my family was like very supportive. My sister was a ballet dancer. So I was with her a lot in costumes, hair and makeup. And I did grow up with like a mom who was a curvier woman. My sister was very small. So I was definitely in a very diverse household. Mm. And then I went to high school in Baltimore City where like I was a minority. I think there was like maybe literally maybe 50 white kids in a school. So it was so different. So I was just always around these different types of cultures.
And then when did you know you wanted to be a designer? Or how did that start for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think because of my sister being like backstage, you know, in this costume, hair and makeup world, seeing her like transform as a ballet
like
dancer.
Princess.
Yeah, like I loved seeing like them the in tool. Warm-ups and then into these like ballerina fairies.
Yeah,
that was so cool. So I think that's what it was. And I knew I wanted to like create things that like transformed you in some way. I don't know what it was at the time, but
Were you an eccentric dresser in high school? Did you?
I probably was a little. I wasn't. My sister really was, and I think she inspired. My sister would wear tutus and platforms, and she worked at this like couture hat store, and she was 16, and she would like wear these giant hats. So she actually kind of inspired me the most, I think.
Wow.
And she was like kind of like a party girl. So she would wear these like crazy, like beaded raver outfits. Like she had a lot of looks.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah. And
your parents were all there for it.
They were for it. Yeah. Like my mom was like, whatever. I mean, actually in a funny way, I think because my mom did not put pressure on us to be something, we kind of were very entrepreneurial kids and we wanted to do our own things. And so I think that was actually a good thing that she wasn't too tough on us.
So when did you think that you could be? Like, I didn't know being a designer was a job when I was a kid. Like, I didn't know that that was something I could want to be. Like, when did that?
I guess it happened semi right into high school. I mean, I remembered my kind of senior year of high school. I did like I went to an art school, so that helped. I went to a fine art school. It's called Baltimore School for the Arts. And my senior year, I was like, I really wanted to like create clothes. And I didn't really know what that meant. And then I moved to London and mostly learned everything there about like actually what a designer really did, what it was. And that was very helpful.
Did you know you were really good? Like, I always wonder if geniuses know they're geniuses or do they figure it out later as they like build their craft? Because I'm so not artistic in any way.
I think sometimes you definitely like, you know, a little bit that you're good because you have to be confident because it's such a competitive business and it's hard. It's actually like a brutal, horrible business. That's a different show. I know. I mean, listen.
I left.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard. It's really tough, which it shouldn't be.
But when you were formative, you spent your time with Alexander McQueen.
Yeah.
And Vivienne Westwood.
Yeah. Yeah, in London. And it's so funny because I didn't even actually really know who they were very much because I was a little kid. I mean, I was 19 and I was like, oh, I want to work for great British designers because I was living in London. And I remember I had this teacher and she was like, you're going to work at Westwood. Like, you have to. And I was like, okay. And then it was so inspiring. Oh my God, it was so amazing. And then I was like, oh. And then everybody was like, oh, I wish. I remember like friends being like, oh, you should try to work at McQueen. I was like, oh, who's that? yeah. And then I learned very quickly. And it was a beautiful place to be. So yeah. And I still think, actually, I treat my studio a little bit like it was there. Very creative, very hands-on. Everybody was in similar projects. You know, we weren't having all these different companies outsource things. Uh-huh. Like, my studio is like my studio. Like, we work. I mean, we have like 37 people like working on things. So it's nice. I try to keep it that way, that I kind of grew up old school. Yeah.
We are going to take a quick break from our conversation to talk about our new brand partner, Clean Cause. Addiction is an epidemic that's rocking our country, and Clean Cause is on a mission to support individuals in recovery from alcohol and drug addiction by creating a sustainable source of funding for recovery efforts. 50% of profits support individuals in recovery from alcohol and drug addiction. Clean Cause allocates sober living scholarships across the country where you drink clean. To date, Clean has granted over 1,500 sober living scholarships, representing more than $750,000. These scholarships afford individuals the opportunity to focus on establishing a recovery routine and finding employment. Clean Cause beverages are organic, sparkling yerba mate containing 160 milligrams better caffeine. Clean Cause drinks provide a smooth pick-me-up and sustained energy without the crash or jitters. They're available in 8 super refreshing low and no sugar flavors, including blackberry, watermelon mint, peach, and cherry lime. My favorite is blackberry, and it's such a great alternative for an energy drink. Clean Cause is available nationwide at Whole Foods, on Amazon, and at cleancause.com. And they're giving 20% off your next purchase at cleancause.com for our listeners if you go and use the code DISSENTERS. Every purchase makes a big difference in support of addiction recovery. Once again, go to cleancause.com and use the code DISSENTERS. Cleancause.com and use the code DISSENTERS. Okay, let's get back to the episode.
Now, fashion, you know, has always been a place about illusion and exclusivity, trying to make this image. And for the longest time, and still now, people who are larger than size 6 are left out.
Yeah.
And your line goes all the way to 28.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of.
And bigger sometimes.
And bigger. So, yeah. I mean, you figured it out.
Yeah.
And why do you think that other designers are so slow to come around? Do you think it's an economical decision? Do you think that it is a branding decision?
I know, it's a really interesting thing, and it's so hard to figure out, because it's like, when business is tough, which right now in fashion it is, you would think that you would be more open. The more customers, the better, right?
Right.
The more people shopping your brand. I mean, at the end of the day, like, we are here still somewhat to sell clothes or product or whatever. So it is interesting. And I always thought that that was strange, almost like they don't know how, or they can't, because they haven't done it before. So it's almost like trial and error, and they're scared, maybe, because sometimes it is. I mean, it definitely is a lot of work to have every size.
Yes.
You know, it definitely is, like, you have to really want to put the effort in, mm-hmm. because, I mean, we have double the fit, double the process, double everything.
Yeah.
But for me, it's beneficial because we have that customer. So
right.
I think maybe brands don't think they have that customer, even though they do. It's very weird.
It's a $30 billion industry, the plus size market. And we had a line when I used to work in fashion on QVC. And when you go on QVC, you realize, like,
oh my gosh,
this is the size that gets sold. And so it was always so strange to me to not see brands want to embrace that.
I know. It's very strange. And not even just like, it's kind of a funny thing I think about, even like the girls that work in my office. All the girls that work in my office are different sizes and shapes and ages. And I'm like, well, they can't even buy the clothes. And that's like weird. And I feel like I know a lot of girls that work in fashion that aren't like a perfect size sample size. And I'm like, so are you shopping the brand that you work at? You're not. So like, that's like so weird to me. So I always thought that was so funny. I'm like, wait. You work at this store. I'm like,
but you can't really wear our clothes.
I'm like, so that's strange.
I mean, I read something that you said, that when you realized that, you know, you wanted to be able to make clothes for your mother and your sister.
Yeah.
And it just seems so obvious. And I was like, what are all of these other designers thinking when they're looking at their family members and being like, God, I wish, but sorry.
I know. And like, that was so funny awkward, thing, you know? About all of your interviews. It was just like, everything you were saying was so obvious.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the fuck is happening? How is this not more common?
And like my mom and my sister, my mom is like, you know, definitely like, you know, a curvy woman and was her whole life. So it's not like new to her. So, but my mom and my sister, they like the same things. So it's not like they're obviously from a different generation, but like they might like the same jacket or top, you know?
Right. And
so I think that was really interesting to me too. I was like, okay, well then they should both be able to get it. And that's kind of why I started putting a curvier woman on my runway. I was like sick of people saying, oh, I can't wear that. It wouldn't look good on me. And I'm like, no, it would actually. I'm like, let me just show you. Cause you know, sometimes you have to just put things in people's faces for
absolutely.
Them to understand. And now it's amazing because I think people can actually visualize themselves. Oh, I think that dress would look really beautiful on me, which is really nice.
I have a question. I feel like a lot of times when we speak to people that are these accidental activists, you know, we realize that they weren't intending to make this huge statement. Like they were kind of doing what they felt was right. And at some point you obviously made a decision that you were going to make a statement about this, or you were going to be open to this, and you were going to do things differently. And so did that start with Whoopi? Like when did you say, I'm going to do this my way, and I want to be inclusive.
Yeah. I mean, I really think it's like a perfect thing because it's all very accidental. I mean, I never even thought about anything. Like, it is so funny. Like, dressing Whoopi for my first Whoopi and Oprah and all these like curvy women in the beginning, I didn't know that. I just wanted to dress Whoopi Goldberg and Oprah. Like, who cares?
I mean, who wouldn't?
Like, who wouldn't?
Exactly.
Like, and if you don't, you're crazy.
Right.
Like, because
but people don't. That's the part.
I know. It is kind of funny, actually. People don't, which is wild. So, And then it was the same with the, you know, girls on the runway. I actually just, we really was like, oh, there's models that we can now have. Agencies didn't even have curvy plus size agencies. That didn't exist.
Yeah.
So now it exists. And I was like, great, we can use them. Like, I really just was like, oh, cool. Like, let's show some people like, oh, we have size 10 and 12 and 14. And I guess I didn't really think about it so much that
so
it was
so you weren't
going
worried about any sort of backlash or people
oh, I don't
being
even
like,
care. I'm like, get over it. I'm like, whatever. I really don't mostly because I know... This is how I've actually been able to make my entire career work, is that I actually really don't care that much. I only care about what our customers care about, which is why we're still in business. Like, I would have been out of business 5 years ago if I was listening to, like, every editor.
And retailer.
And retailer in this industry. Like, I would have, because they tell me to do things all the time that I shouldn't
do. Right, right.
Don't do a collaboration with someone like Payless or don't do this. I was like, I did that for 10 years. It funded my entire company. Of course I did it. I was like, I wouldn't be here. So I think about things like that. Yeah. To keep going.
You know, I'm 100 years old. So 20 years ago, when I came out for one of my first jobs in LA, you know, I was a size 8. And in New York, I was hot. And then, but I walked on stage and I was like, you know, okay, I'm ready. And I was told to lose weight. It was very confusing to me.
Crazy.
You know, I was 25 and they were like, oh, you, and basically it's this awful thing where they bring in clothes that they know don't fit you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so you keep trying to get these on and they're like, oof, sorry. And it doesn't come in your size.
Is that meant to be passive aggressive? I don't understand.
At the time, it happened for so long for me that it felt like it was. Like I was, you know what it was? I felt like I was making their jobs really hard. And you know, can you just make some adjustments so
by
that,
existing in your body? Like I don't even understand. This is your job. You're a stylist. Get clothes in my size.
But I know. You know, and
it
then
just seems so basic.
And then I started losing weight on camera, and all of a sudden people were saying, oh my God, you lost weight. You look so great. Oh my God, you look so beautiful. And all of this reinforcement.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was a size 2.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I was fitting into every sample size. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this is part of my job. I have to stay a size 2 in order to be a lead on a TV show. And obviously, you know, I'm not a 2 anymore. Obviously, I realized that was bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's a much a much better place now for young girls coming into the industry because we have all of these new role models that you dress who look sexy and are starring on TV shows and are celebrated and are the cover of magazines. And
It's nice. It was good. It was a really important time to change that too. Because then you were like wasting all these amazing, talented people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll start seeing more diversity within fashion, like in the C-suites and the people, the designers across the board?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it's been changing a lot. It really has. I think we have come a long way. I think like the CFDA has been very helpful in that. I mean, I do think that a lot of magazines have worked hard at it for the most part, the last few months at least, year, which is good. I mean, yeah, it is, but it is the challenge always of like aspiration. And sometimes people get this idea like, oh, what is aspirational?
Yeah.
So I think that gets confusing for people sometimes. Like, oh, it's not actually pretty enough yet.
Well, it's a vicious cycle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we as consumers, we're like, well, what is beautiful? Teach us.
Yeah.
And then we see models that are size 2 and 4.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I wish I looked like that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, how do we change that? Well, you have to change that by having models who are size 10 and 12. And then that will be teaching our young girls, that's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's really all it is. It's all it takes. It doesn't take much. It takes, you know, a few really great big brands to pave the way. And that's it. The brands that actually advertise. That's really all it is because, again, you have to put it in front of people's face for them to understand, which is why I think magazines are probably the easiest way to do it because they can put whatever they want in anything.
Right.
So same with like a film or whatever.
Also like the red carpet to me is such a moment. That's the thing that's so confusing to me because, you know, you see this industry where every brand spends hundreds of thousands of dollars like gifting and schlepping all this shit across the country to all these agencies who schlep it to influencers who then either keep it or give it to their friends or their nannies. Then you have these huge stars that are like, hey, I'm nominated for an Oscar. Or, hey, I'm nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't have the budget to dress you. And
I'm know.
Like, I don't understand. Like, BB Rex. Like, how do you not dress this person?
She's a size eight.
Yeah. I know. It's such a silly, funny thing. And it's like,
how do you not have the budget for
so
that?
So dumb and annoys me.
I mean,
you made 300 water bottles for that gift bag? It's so crazy.
It seems like just bad business.
Yeah, it is. It's like really stupid decisions. And I think, and definitely like, I mean, that's a whole other thing. Celebrity dressing can be very expensive and very hard.
Yes.
I totally under, like, but it is annoying when you see like a big brand like a Gucci, a Dior, a Vuitton, and who they choose to dress during award season is usually the typical actress.
And that would be such an amazing statement, right? For Gucci to dress someone that looks
Gucci's better.
So wait, now that we're talking about red carpet, can we talk about the Billy Porter moment?
Yes. Talk about accidental. I mean, literally, let me tell you, we did that fitting like 5 days before. I didn't have time. He didn't even do the fitting. Like, we just made that.
Oh my God.
It was wild.
But I don't believe that there isn't a part of you that knew what you were, you were making a statement.
I will say, like, now what's happened to Billy, I mean, is unreal. And obviously, like, and he's such an amazing actor and all the nominations. And now, obviously, he's dressing to be himself, which is so awesome. But I will say, like, the Oscars was that kind of first moment, really, where he was taking that risk. And we really didn't think about it. We really didn't. Like, I was so busy. It was 4-5 days after my show. During Fashion Week, it was like, I was not really paying attention that much. But I was like, he was like, well, I want to wear a gown. And I was like, fabulous. It's going to be amazing. But I didn't know it would actually be the first gown ever worn by a man on a carpet, on a red carpet like that. I didn't actually think about it that way. And now it's awesome.
And now.
What was the response?
Amazing. Unreal. I mean, I think actually the best part is like seeing little kids being like, I can wear what I want to wear to school now because that's all. That's like, I was like, okay, I'm done. I don't have to read anything else.
Makes me want
to
cry.
Yeah, it was amazing because I think people really, really needed needed it. Like, we needed to see someone else, especially at the Oscars, which is watched by every country around the world, to see someone else in the typical person wear something beautiful. And it was tasteful and elegant, and it
it was classic.
Yeah, it was classic, but, you know, in a modern way, because it was on a man. Yeah, so really interesting.
You are completely changing the history of fashion, which is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it's nice. Think about, like, you know, like, you've been to a lot of award shows.
Yeah.
Think about even, like, wearing a pant or a suit.
That wasn't
a thing.
That was a huge risk.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? That's wild.
On a woman.
On a woman. It's so crazy to think that.
This just stay in your gender lane.
Yeah. I hate that. Always bothered me. So that's why I don't do it.
Talk about your people are people.
Oh, yeah.
People I think are people. That's just such a cool statement. And where did that come from?
I know that came out. I think it was like election time.
Let people know what that is?
Yeah, people are people. So people are people was really something I kind of came up with. This was during Fashion Week. It was happening during the election. We were like, what can we do to kind of showcase this kind of a political statement somewhat, but that was not to be like, oh, you have to be one way or the other, because I don't want to do that to anyone. We have customers from all around the world, so it's hard to be that way. But I do think I wanted this to be focused on that people are people and you can be who you want to be. And that was really all it was. So we started with a t-shirt. It turned into a fragrance. It turned into lots of things that people could wear that felt and like not masculine, feminine, not one gender, not anything. And that it really is such an easy, simple statement that means a lot, I think.
It means so much.
And when people wear it, like, it is funny to hear people's comments be like, you're right. People are people. And it's like so funny. Like, I love seeing, my mom will wear it. And she's like, some woman came up to me and she's like, you're right. People are people. And it's so funny. But it's like, we're all human. We all like make mistakes, do right and wrong as much as we can. And I guess that's what it was for. And also to like make fashion not so frivolous, just like we're like making a pretty dress. Like we do, I think a designer, the only job we have is to like somewhat put something out in the world that means something, like an artist would, you know.
It's just these statements to me are amazing. I read something where someone asked you about making plus size clothing and you're like, well, everyone wears clothes. And you're like, that's such an obvious statement.
Yeah,
it's so true.
I'm like, we all get dressed. I'm like, what are you wearing when you get up in the morning? I'm like, come on, get out of my face. It's like so rude.
It's such a good statement. Like, yes, everyone does wear clothes.
Yeah.
Everyone needs clothes in their sizing.
Yeah.
What are some of your all-time favorite pieces that you have made for...
Oh my gosh.
For a red carpet or some big event?
So many things. I don't know. I mean, I think... fondest like memories, like the first time we dressed Christina Hendricks was one of the first like major red carpets I ever did, like the Golden Globes.
Uh-huh.
And that got a lot of controversy, but I love that moment because it was amazing.
Yeah.
What we did for Michelle Obama was amazing at the DNC, just because she gave such a powerful speech. But the dress was very simple, but I think spoke
Were you nervous
volumes. I actually kind of forgot a little bit because we make
her... He's so busy.
No, we made her a lot of things.
But I think that's his secret sauce. He doesn't overthink things. He just follows his gut, which is genius. Everyone overthinks everything.
Everything. And
this
it
is
really,
all I keep hearing from you.
Oh my God,
just,
it drives me insane. I mean, I think probably a lot of actresses are like that, have been doing it for a long time. Like when you're on set, you're like, guys, like, I got it. Like, we've done it.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think just because like now, like even like I was like filming a project yesterday and I'm like, I got this. Like, I know how to talk. You don't need to tell me how to speak. I'm like, oh, they're like, oh, you did that so fast. I'm like, I know how to talk about my clothes. I make them. So anyway, that's exactly what it is, guys. I'm like, I'm tired. The only way to dress 17 people at the Oscars is to like everyone like leave me alone. Like, stop talking to me. I understand it's going to be a great dress. Like, don't freak out about it. That's how it works out.
But it's amazing that you don't... Oh, I mean, that's the paralysis I think everyone feels. Like, everyone wants to do these things, but then they just overthink them and they're so scared. And what if someone says this? And what if someone unfollows me? And you're like,
yeah. My good, unfollow me. Keep it moving. But you know what? At the end, if only person that follows me is my mom, I'm fine with that. It's okay.
Oh, mom.
I know. They were love here. Mom. She was here yesterday. It was hilarious.
Okay, but you dressed Oprah. So that's the other
yes,
thing.
Yes. I've dressed Oprah a lot. And actually, Oprah was one of the first women I ever dressed. So it was awesome. You know, I was like making clothes for like this iconic woman.
Oh my God.
I know, who has like changed our culture. And I was like, geez, I'm like, this is amazing. So yeah, it's really awesome to still make things for her. It's great. So great.
But you know, you're a unicorn, right?
You know, but I'm sure it probably bothers other people, like other designers are probably like, well, that's annoying because we made a dress too. Like, I know that's happened.
Right.
Like, but I will go the extra step. I will be on my hands and knees fixing your dress myself before you walk out, if you want me to.
Yeah.
Because I'm down for that. Yeah.
I won't say the name, but I remember, I think it was maybe the Golden Globes. And I remember there was this gown that I really, really was excited about wearing. And it seemed as though it was going to happen. Remember this? And we were waiting and they were like, by the end of the week, we'll let you know. Another week, we'll let you know. And I was like, dudes, I've got to move
on.
Wait,
if you could wear it?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
We will bequeath you this dress.
And
Deborah Messing.
Yes. And it turned out they were like, no, we're sorry. We're only dressing one person.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's like, you know what? Just tell me that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that I can move on.
Yeah.
But obviously that's a completely different way of approaching it and saying,
totally,
we are so exclusive.
Totally.
We will only do one person.
Yeah.
But that can
be a beautiful thing too. Like, I understand the process of that, and some brands that works for, because they, you know, want to make sure their focus is tight on this new piece of the collection or whatever. Everybody has their reasons. Unfortunately for me, it just has never worked out that way. I think, it's not how I think I was able to like build a brand. I think I built a brand by like opening up to other
people. It just
everything.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
From the outside.
Yeah.
Also, like, no consumer is sitting at home being like, X brand only dressed one person. Like, no one thinks
exactly.
about exclusive. They're not real. It's like in your head.
They're just like,
and
oh, that one's pretty.
Daily, which exactly. no one reads. That's not an industry. And
exactly.
no one cares.
I
like,
know.
This is the thing that I always say. Like, you live in this bubble where you think everyone cares.
Yeah.
And everyone's like eating chicken and making pasta while they're watching the Oscars. And they're like, that's so yeah. pretty. It's like just so crazy to me.
I remember when I first started dating my boyfriend and we were talking, and he is into fashion and knows everything about a lot of brands. He did not know what Women's Wear Daily was. Like,
wow.
Yeah, he's young and
no one
cool.
knows.
And it was so interesting
to me. No
one
reads
footwear
news.
Wow, I'm like, my mind is blown.
Yeah.
And obviously it is an industry thing, which I understand. Everyone listening to this is like, what the hell are they squawking about? But anyway, so we can move on. But
no, I mean, that's just the whole exclusive thing to me. It's
yes.
so inside and
yes.
no one cares. And just, it just makes no business sense. And I think that yeah. is the problem that at least I saw working inside fashion, is all these decisions continue to get made because they've been made that way, but they
yes.
make no business sense.
Yeah.
And then you look at someone like the way that you run your business and
yeah.
you run it like it's a business.
Yeah.
And it's working.
Yeah. Whoever walks through that door, I don't care what they want. I don't care where they come from. I'm like, you trying to buy a $10,000 dress? Get it, girl. Get
sold.
In that dressing room. I don't care what you look like. I really don't at all. Love you. Sorry. I'm like, whatever.
How do you feel like social media has changed fashion? Just like, even when you look at accounts like Diet Prada, which kind of call everybody out, and now people get to demand inclusion and
yeah.
bring accountability to these brands. It's like,
yeah.
on one hand, you see all these brands doing, some of it feels like slightly contrived as they're like trying to cater to what this consumer audience is
yeah.
requesting. And then some of it feels like, oh, we've evolved.
Yeah. I mean, social media is a tough thing for all of us in our world right now.
Yeah.
Like, we are all going through it because it's good and it's bad. It's emotional. It's very instant. We're judging something in a second by looking at a picture, which is very hard. But it can be great for business. I can sell a $45,000 gown off of a picture. Sometimes I don't even see the back. That's wild. That's
wow.
mind-blowing to
wow.
me.
Yeah.
We have that all the time. And I'm like, you haven't even seen it. You don't even know what the fabric is. You mean, like, what are you talking about? But we do. And it's amazing. But then it can be sad because, you know, Diet Prada or something like that isn't always accurate is
yeah.
hard because, you know, people then think everything that is on Instagram is true. So then that's hard. But I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, obviously, like, I'm on the new season of Runway and I'm a mentor. But when I was on Runway, which was in 2008, Instagram didn't exist.
Oh, my God.
Twitter just launched. Isn't that wild to think about? So, like, it's changed the entire business world of shopping, of fashion, of who's relevant, who... You can be a brand now without ever doing anything. Like, you're already a brand because you have 10,000 followers, 10,000 people. You know, magazines used to kill to get that 10,000 subscribers.
Totally.
You know, brands, like, please subscribe to our website. We have 5,000 subscribers. We're happy. It's wild. Now it's like, if you don't have a million, you're not cool. I'm right. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's insane.
But you do you feel like it's more of a dialogue?
But it is, yes. It is so, like, helpful to connect to your customer and your fans or just friends. And I think that's a really beautiful part about it. It's, you're able to get your voice out there. I'm able to show Billy Porter on the red carpet in a gown in a second and the whole world can see it. And before they couldn't, maybe if they, you know, I don't know, didn't watch the Oscars.
Or if they weren't buying Vogue.
Or if, exactly.
Right.
Or if they weren't buying the 10 fashion magazines that existed. Yeah.
How do you feel like you want fashion to evolve?
I wish that, I still do wish that there was more support. There's a lot to do. I mean, literally, like, I actually have a project that I'm working on, and it was, we shot something with a curvier woman and we cannot get it placed. And I think it's really crazy. And I'm like, it's actually really mind blowing. And
what do you mean?
And if we can't get it placed, I will talk about it soon. Like, I will literally, like, do, like, a full sit down interview, because every magazine editor, publicist that said that we're supporting this world, they're actually liars. And it's really annoying. So it drives me crazy.
Wow.
So things like that are happening still.
What do they say? Not for us?
Not for us. Not right.
Not for us.
Not for us.
I
not
love
right.
that email.
And I love that email. And it's, and I get it and I understand. But, like, actually putting something digital.com up for one day affects you in no way at all. And at all. And it's beautiful photos and it's a great thing, concept. It's really wild. I think it's, like, acceptance is, like, the biggest thing that we just have to work on. That's it. Like, we have to accept one another. We have to support each other. And that goes from, like, fashion is from literally, like, so many genres of our world. Like, it has to be, let's accept what, you know, a candidate would wear. Let's accept what, you know, someone in the mall is shopping for. Like, I think it's so broad now, but I think that's our biggest thing. Like, let's not, I don't think we should judge people so much anymore in the business. I think that's, I guess, what
I'm... How do you think we get there?
I don't know. It's really tough. It's tough. So I'm not sure yet, but I'm thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like, when, like, a political woman is wearing something, like, it really was starting to bother me when, like, so many people were judging it so much. And I'm like, well, we really don't judge other people that same way.
No, and the shitty suits that all these guys wear? No one cares.
Yeah, exactly. So then it was the same. It's the same with the red carpet. It's the same. Literally trickled down to, like, what's happening, like, in a mass brand store. So it affects us all. It affects
the tech
world,
everything.
Except
for when Obama wore a tan suit and the whole world lost their mind.
That's right.
When what?
Well, Obama wore a tan suit.
But that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, guys, it once again, it's not hurting you. Why does that bother you so much? You're sitting at home, you're watching your shows, and you see somebody wear something. I'm like, it didn't reach out of the screen and hit you in the face. Like, what are you talking about?
It feels like it's a fearful reaction. It's a reaction to change.
Yeah.
You know, there's an expectation of what a president is supposed to wear.
Yeah.
There's an expectation of what a man on a red carpet is supposed to wear. And when all of a sudden things start spreading out, I think people get nervous.
I know.
And they're like, no, we need to keep things clear.
Yeah.
And I think when, you know, like with gender fluidity, I think it really makes people nervous.
I know. But then why do we love films, TV, movies? They're so far from reality, what has been shown in the world. But for some reason, we accept them differently. I always thought that was interesting. Like, what we, like, there's movies about people dying all over the world, but it's not bad. It's not, like, not allowed to be made.
Yeah.
Why is fashion not allowed to be made? So I always thought that was interesting. I don't know. I look at it. I don't know if anybody looks at it that way ever.
So when someone like Lady Gaga calls you,
yeah,
and says, I want you to make something, what goes through your head?
Yeah. God, I'm down for whatever. And yeah, you know what's so funny? Because I have been dressing Gaga since literally like before anybody even knew who she was. I did her first TV appearance ever, which was for the Today Show in 2008. The album had just come out. Because I met her at a party. She like just had launched, like hadn't done anything. It's wild. Yeah. And then dressed her over the years. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. And she's in my first book. There's like a picture of us backstage pre-new Gaga because she looks quite different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's wild to think about. But I've done a lot of, musicians and actresses like early before they started doing things. Cardi, I dressed Cardi for her first appearance ever.
What was that like?
Genius.
I'm obsessed with her.
Fabulous. Lots of like young actresses early on in there. Lizzo. Lizzo performed at my after party 4 years ago. Nobody even knew who Lizzo was. Yeah, like I'm like.
How did you know Lizzo?
Because Lizzo, you're going to die. Lizzo did an MC, like a, like red carpet for an award show. Not even the red carpet. She did like a whatever for an award show. And I was like, oh my God, I love this girl. I want to get her for my Lane Bryant collection.
Uh-huh.
So we tried to get her for my Lane Bryant collection. We like became friendly. And I was like, she's fabulous. Then her songs started coming out and we just kept in touch and became friendly and kept it going. And I was like, please come to my show. Will you perform on my party? I mean, literally like for free, like it's mind blowing. And it's so crazy.
She is bonkers.
And she's amazing. And
outrageous. Like, she's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah.
I'm in love with her.
Yeah. I know. I see people kind of early a little bit sometimes.
But that's also like a super skill.
Yeah.
Very few people can
I'm pretty
do that.
Like good at like figuring out like who's gonna like have a moment pretty quick. Rachel Brosnahan. I dressed Rachel Brosnahan for her first SAG Awards because she was actually on, what was it called? Kevin Spacey's show. What was
it? Yes, House of Cards.
House of Cards. And Rachel Brosnahan's was a very small role and she was going to the SAGs. She couldn't get a dress. And I was like, I'll dress her. And now she's
look at her.
It's a Golden Globe every year.
It's just so incredible that you have this clarity about who you are and what you want to build. And you just don't really care about like the norms and the industry and the standards and what people are going to say and backlash. Like you just follow your gut and you just do it with such an open heart. Yeah. It's really
And I'm really good at making people actually look very good. So that is my defense mechanism though. Because I will say like, I'm sure I do get judged a lot, but I'm like, oh, they look so good. So I'm like, okay, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
What do you want to say to me? Like, they look amazing. I'm like, keep it moving. I'm like, what do you want to say? I'm like, she has never looked better. You're right. Thank you. That's what I say.
I love them so
Maybe
much.
Maybe that's the kindness of me. But
I love
but
it.
They look good.
They
Not
do.
Always, but, you know, for the most part.
So there's a lot of people, hopefully, I think who want to do good things and are scared or want to make change or want to venture off away from the status quo. Mm-hmm. And you did it. Intentionally or not.
Yeah.
But now that you are a mentor.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
There is no time like in our life, in our world. Like you just have to do it. Like you have to be aggressive and overly obsessed with what you love to like a sickness in a way. And I see that when definitely when I'm like mentoring these young designers, I'm like, if you're not really into it, I can tell immediately, I'm like, it's never happening for you. Like, you don't understand, like, you're never, ever gonna get it. And I can tell that like in a second. I'm like, I know when you're not, you have to be obsessed with this job. Like, fashion is so hard. So I can tell pretty quick. So that's my advice. Like, and if you're not, that's okay. Like, there are other things in the world. There's lots of things.
Yeah.
That's what's great. You can do anything you want now.
And to the brands. Well, so like, you know, we both helped create I'm a Voter, which is totally nonpartisan. And it's a campaign that's like, hey, please vote.
Yeah.
And we would send it out to all these brands. And most of them were so welcoming. And some brands were like, it's not really on brand for us. We're like, but it's voting. Like, we're not asking you to, we don't talk about issues. We don't talk about politicians. We're just saying like, hey, you're a human being.
You're an American.
Yeah.
You should vote.
Right.
Yeah.
And you realize like people think things are political when they're not.
Yeah.
And that is just astonishing to me on many other levels. But I guess if anyone is listening to this that wants to be more inclusive and wants to do things differently, then has always been done at Fashion Week, what would you say to them?
It's about like you push yourself, push your, you know, push the norm, whatever you think is, you know, normal. That's it. That's all it is. It's like, I just try things and trial and error. And I don't know. It's like, you don't know if something's going to work if you have never even tried it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
So excited for you guys.
I love you.
Love you.
And I am very grateful and honored to be one of your girls.
Always.
That you have
dressed. See, I get to dress icons. It's the best.
It's so fun.
He's the best. We love you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. And please join us next week when we speak with our amazing friend, Cindy Eckert, the sexual revolutionist. We are Deborah Messing and Mandana Dayani, and you have been listening to The Dissenters. Thank you all so much for tuning in. If you like today's show, please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review. You can go to thedissenters.com to see the full list of our 20 dissenters. We love seeing the support on social, so please tag us at The Dissenters, at The Real Deborah Messing, at Mandana Dayani. And please continue sending us suggestions for badass dissenters we should feature. Please tune in next Thursday to meet our next brilliant dissenter. This show is produced by me, Deborah Messing, Mandana Dayani, Erica First, and Dear Media. Our music was written by Brady Cohen, and images were shot by Justin Campbell.